Hello and welcome to Behind the Bar Show. I'm your host, Tim, Mr. Martini Morrison. And you add salt to food to enhance the flavor, and we add bitters to beverages to do the same. So on this episode, we talk about the key ingredients necessary for a real cocktail, bitters. During a break, we'll feature a quote from Edward Burke. So let's get on with the show. Hello and happy Cinco de Mayo. Yes, I am recording this on May 5th, 2007. Break out the tequila and celebrate. Now I have a question for you. Do you know what you're celebrating, or are you just taking it as a chance to party? No, it isn't Mexico's independence. That was September 15th, 1810. Now on May 5th, 1862, the Mexican army took on the powerful French army in the Battle of Puebla and came out on top. Now, why were they fighting the French? Because the Mexican treasury was running dry due to the Mexican War with the U.S. and the Mexican Civil War. They borrowed from the European countries, and when Mexico stopped paying France back, they decided to invade it. But on May 5th, 1862, the Mexican people stood up for themselves and fought back. 6,000 plus well-armed French soldiers. Now, if you know the full history, then you know that the French attacked again, even stronger the next time, and did take over Mexico. But that soon changed in 1867 when Mexico got their country back. To celebrate Cinco de Mayo is to honor the bravery of the Mexican soldiers who, even when outnumbered, stood and fought for their country. So smash open that piñata, eat a burrito covered in yummy mole, which is like a chocolatey, spicy sauce. Now all you need to do is wash it down with a margarita or a bucket of beer with a table full of friends. So viva Cinco de Mayo, everyone. Now, I've had a lot of people ask for a Cinco de Mayo show, but really there isn't much to talk about in the way of cocktails and drinking. Yes, it has become a party time for people to pour into their local cantina and share a round of Coronas or a slushy margarita in a large glass rimmed with brightly colored salt. But I said I would put something together, so I figured this is the best I could do, was to post a show on May 5th and give a summarized history lesson on it, and hopefully you've enjoyed it so far. Now, before I get into the main topic of bitters, let's go through listener feedback. Hello, Adam from Illinois. Adam said he's been working through the shows and heard on episode 28 a listener mention her favorite CD for cocktail parties. Here is an addition, his addition, to the CDs, great for the cocktail hour. They're called the Playboy Jazz After Dark Volumes 1 and 2. They're full of classic jazz, and as Adam states, they summon up the images of dimly lit smoky bars from the old detective movies. So thank you for the information, Adam. Glenn from Long Beach, thank you for the email. Glenn has been anxiously awaiting the my next podcast. Well, here you go. Glenn also mentioned a great way to make a wonderful smooth drink, and that's by making a margarita and adding a splash of Tuaca. So thanks for writing in, Glenn. And finally, I want to say thank you to an unknown caller who sent a voice letter saying he's going to be starting as a bartender soon and wanted to know what things he should know going into the profession and what can help him excel in the job. This is a great question. I could throw it into this show, but I think I'd like to put this one on hold and instead put together a quick show on just that, as I'm sure I can come up with quite a few things worthy of mentioning for the new bartender. I'd also like to take this opportunity to make a request to all my professional bartenders out there. I'd love to get calls from you at 2069-THE-BAR and leave a message with tips that you think would be helpful for a new bartender, or even better yet, your wildest, craziest story about the things you've seen and done while bartending. If you don't want your voice on the show, I understand. Please at least send me your bartending stories to the email address behindthebarshow@gmail.com. I think this will make a great, fun, entertaining show. And I look forward to hearing from all the bartenders out there with their tips and stories. And I look forward to putting them together with my opinions and putting this show idea together. So that said, thank you all for listening. And let's get on with the rest of the show. Okay, so we're talking about bitters. Bitters works a lot like salt seasoning food. You don't want to put in so much salt that it makes it so salty you can taste it. You want to add just enough to enhance the flavor of the food. Because salt has a way of really bringing out the flavors in other ingredients. Well, I believe in bitters the same way. You don't want to add so much bitters that you can really taste it. You want it to enhance the flavors of the other ingredients. All those interesting, complex flavors found in bitters has a wonderful way of smoothing out the roughness of alcohol and other strong flavors. It's like the glue that melds all the flavors together and makes everything work in harmony. For some reason, bitters has been taking the back seat and being left out of many cocktails. Now, actually, a true cocktail has to have some sort of bitters ingredient in it if you want to follow the true sense of the word cocktail. A cocktail is a type of alcoholic beverage, as is crustas, sours, slings, fixes, Collins, cobblers, rickies, daisies, toddies, highballs, smashes, flips, and punches. There are more, but you get the picture. The word cocktail was first seen in print on May 6, 1806 in a publication called The Balance and Columbian Repository. It is written that a cocktail is, and I quote, a stimulating liquor composed of spirits of any kind, sugar, water, and bitters, and is vulgarly called a bittered sling, unquote. If you'd like to read the entire article that first mentions cocktail, go to www.museumoftheamericancocktail.org and click on the museum on the left and then on their virtual exhibit called The Origin of the Cocktail. When most people think of bitters, they think of Angostura. This is definitely the most commonly known bitter on the market. Angostura Bitters was created by Dr. J.G.B. Seigert in 1824. Dr. Seigert was the Surgeon General in the Venezuelan Army. The bitters were created to improve the soldiers' appetite and digestion. It was named Angostura after the town it was created in, not from Angostura bark, which, by the way, is not used at all in making Angostura bitters. This is a very big misconception. If you're looking for the town of Angostura in Venezuela, you might want to know it had its name changed to Ciudad Bolivar in 1846. Now, Angostura bitters is 45% alcohol by volume, and thusly is used in very small amounts. I wouldn't worry about the strength of alcohol since it is used in such a small amount, normally measured in dashes. The bitterness in Angostura bitters comes from gentian. The Angostura label actually says an aromatic preparation of water, alcohol, gentian, and vegetable flavoring extract and vegetable coloring matter. Now, the real recipe of herbs and spices used is a complete mystery, as the recipe is only known by about 5 people, and the recipe is written on only 1 piece of paper that is locked away in a vault in Barclays Bank in New York City. Angostura is wonderful in a Manhattan, but you can also use it over cut fruits, salads, in coffee, part of a marinade for meats, in soups and sauces, and believe it or not, ice cream. Want to try something interesting? Try it over vanilla ice cream. Now let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue on with information of other types of bitters. We One can drink too much, but one never drinks enough. Edward Burke. Welcome back. Antoine Peychaud was a pharmacist in New Orleans in the French Quarter and is known for creating a wonderful liquid tonic that he would add to brandy. This concoction quickly took off and was strongly associated with the very popular Sazerac Coffee House on Exchange Alley. In 1853, the owner of the Sazerac Coffee House made the drink known as the Sazerac Cocktail. In 1870, Thomas Handy purchased the Sazerac Coffee House and also bought the rights to Peychaud's bitters. The rest is history, but when it comes to making the best Sazerac, set aside the Angostura bitters and use the original bitters for this drink, Peychaud's bitters. If I was to characterize the tastes of Angostura and Peychaud's, I'd have to say that Peychaud's, even though quite bitter if you were to taste it pure, has a slight anise flavor and seems a bit sweet and fruity. Angostura, to me, is just bursting with spices. Another important bitter, which is unfortunately rare to find, is orange bitters. If you've heard my show on the martini, then you know that orange bitters is necessary for that perfect gin martini. Two orange bitters that come to mind. First, if you can find orange bitters, it will most likely be from Fee Brothers. Their bottle states it is prepared from water, glycerin, alcohol, oil of bitter orange terpenes, and other natural flavors. The main flavor comes from the skin of oranges grown in the West Indies. You can visit their website at feebrothers.com. Check out their website to read the interesting history of their company that has been producing liquor since 1864. It's an interesting story, especially about how they stayed in business during Prohibition, making altar wine. Another great orange bitters is Regan's Orange Bitters, created by Gary Regan. You can find Gary's Orange Bitters in the gift shop at www.buffalotrace.com. Speaking about orange bitters, I have to give a wonderful shout out to a great restaurant here in San Francisco. This bar is located in the Ferry Building along Embarcadero. The restaurant is called The Slanted Door, and I stopped in there for the first time last week and met Tim, one of the bartenders there. I decided to do my usual first test, and that is to order a classic. Now, Robert Hess likes to order an old-fashioned to see how they make it. I like to order the Sazerac. I must add, I just came from a bar called the Americano, located in Hotel Vitale, and I tried having a Sazerac there as well. Now, I don't know what they tried serving me, but it wasn't a Sazerac. I'm not even sure it had bitters in it. I knew it was going to be wrong as soon as I saw them start squeezing lemon juice from a squeeze bottle and then pouring in the whiskey. The rest of the drink was prepared around the corner where I couldn't see it, so I'm not sure what else was done to it. Whatever it wasn't pleasant, and this is why I moved on and finally decided to try the Slanted Door. Anyway, Tim, the bartender, started making a Sazerac, and I must say most places use Angostura as they don't carry Peychaud's, but I was pleasantly amazed to see Tim dashing in Peychaud's. I knew right away I was in for a properly made Sazerac, and I was. It was incredible. I then started speaking to a female bartender behind the bar, and I'm ashamed to say I can't remember her name right now. I can tell you one thing about her, though. She's my kind of bartender, she and Tim both. They're both extremely pleasant and made you feel comfortable. I told her I was very pleased to see that they actually had Peychaud's bitters, and the only thing they could do right now to really surprise me was to show me a bottle of orange bitters from behind the bar. Well, wouldn't you know it, she quickly plops down the table not only a bottle of Fee Brothers orange bitters, but Regan's orange bitters as well. Let's just say I have a new bar I like to visit. I guess now I'll have to go back and try their food. The only thing I've tried so far was their carpaccio while I was sitting at the bar, and I can tell you that was very good. Anyways, let me add now that you should definitely have a bottle of bitters lying around at your bar. At least have a bottle of Angostura And is it really, you know, critical for drinks like the champagne cocktail, the Manhattan, and the old fashioned? And if you want a great Sazerac, have a bottle of Peychaud's. And if you want that perfect martini, grab a bottle of orange bitters as well. Now, when making drinks, try adding a dash or two of bitters and see what happens. You may be pleasantly surprised. Here's an example. I was making a Negroni the other day. Gin, Campari, which is also a bitter liqueur, and sweet vermouth. Well, I was ticked that I was out of oranges and I couldn't put in my much-needed orange slice. So I decided, hey, why not add a dash or two of Fee Brothers orange bitters? Now, if you know Campari, you know it is definitely bitter, and the Negroni can be a bit of a bitter drink itself. You'd think adding more bitters would just make it worse, but this is what proves what I said at the beginning of the show. The orange bitters actually caused the bitterness in the Campari to be less pronounced, and instead it really enhanced all the complex flavors in the drink. I was happily amazed at how delicious it was, and am now quite content to add a dash or two of orange bitters in my Negronis. Well, I'm going to leave the show right there. I'm going to work on putting together more information on bitters and try to branch out to the other bitter liqueurs as well. There are others to talk about, like Campari, Fernet Branca, Underberg, and the long-gone Boker's Bitters. I wanted to get this show out on Cinco de Mayo, so this is it for now. Once I get the rest of my notes together, who knows, I may have a Bitters Part 2 coming very soon. Anyway, until next time, have questions or comments, feel free to email me at behindthebarshow@gmail.com or leave a voice letter at 206-9-THE-BAR, area code 206-984-3227. Cheers, drink responsibly, and please don't drink and drive.